people don't want to buy a job. They want to buy a business. So your company has to be able to operate without you. That's the most important thing. Number two, your company also has to be profitable. If you have those two things, you can probably sell a company.
Mic check.
I'm good.
Mic check.
You can read about success all day long, but if you don't put in the work, the mindset, execution, and the hustle behind your vision, it just remains a dream.
When everything goes wrong, you have to take all the responsibility.
We uncover what high-level entrepreneurs, business owners do to rise up from hustling daily.
So do what you feel passionate about. Take chances.
The world becomes your library to help you to become better at your craft.
Join me as I share with you actionable tips to help you grow your business, learn skills, and help you level up in your self-development journey.
Your number one spot for business and personal growth is the Online Hustlers Podcast with your host, Esteban Andrade. Every day I'm hustling.
All right, so we have an episode here of the Online Hustlers Podcast. Welcome to the show. We are back today in the in-person podcast with Online Hustlers Podcast. And every single time that I bring in someone as a guest is either a wholesaler or is either an investor, someone that is in the multifamily route, or maybe is a tech entrepreneur in the investing side. And I rarely just bring people outside of that world. And today is the second time or the third time that I've done in this podcast, because I want to bring diversity and see you show you how other business models work, how you can ultimately operate your business learning from other industries or other business models. And today I have a special podcast episode with my friend, Jared Curry. And Jared Curry, he's a family member of Stephen Curry, right? Steph Curry, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Dude, he's actually my cousin.
He's actually your cousin.
I'm so serious.
Like, how serious are you?
I'm so serious. Second cousin. My dad tells me a story all the time. It's either my great-grandfather or my great-great-grandfather. And his great-great-grandfather were, if I'm not mistaken, brothers or cousins. And that's how we're related.
Damn.
Yeah.
Would you have the ball to be like, Steph, I'm your cousin?
Yeah. And 100%. Dude, parts of his family, because it's kind of a separate family a little bit, parts of his family come to our family for reunions and stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Would you ask for any, I need $1 million right now.
No.
I need a loan.
We're not there yet.
Okay. All right. So, guys, if you guys are watching, just take about 60 seconds to give us a review. Give us a 5-star review. If you don't give us a 5-star, tell us why. If you don't give us 5-star, also don't give us anything. I love to have either for you to hit the subscribe button or just tell us exactly how you love the podcast episode. And if you're watching it live, you're gonna ask any questions whatsoever. But let's dive into this, man. I'd love to talk about you as a whole. Are a very interesting individual, because you came into this space when you were like 16, 17. The real estate, I'm sorry, not the real estate space, but the agency space.
Yeah.
You came in when you were 16, 17?
I was 16.
Wow. Okay. So when I was 16, I was just thinking about how can I approach girls? How can I actually talk to girls and go on dates and party? That was my entire thing.
Dude, that was my thing too, but I added one thing to that. How do I make money?
How to make money. All right. So I guess mine was replaced by how to beat people in FIFA. And how to do great in Call of Duty sessions. That was my thing that I could have put the money part. Would have done so much better than what I'm doing right now at this current moment. But that's okay. And I want to know, someone coming from such a young guy, what was inside of the mind of such a young guy that just wanted to make money?
Dude, that's
or what?
That's a great question. So I read this book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And the reason why I read this book is because I was in high school and I always knew, like, and I'm sure everyone listening has had this exact same experience. They had this knowingness, right? That they were destined to do something bigger. And I think a lot of people have that within them. It just comes down to what do we tell ourselves? What do we make reality? And what's the imagination and the creativity that we have up here that gives us the power to say, I can do whatever I feel like doing. I am the captain of my ship and the master of my destiny. So in high school, I looked up to these two people that are still my friends today because they always thought differently. And you knew that they were going to amount to something amazing. And I wanted to be like them. Yeah. I wanted to be part of that crowd. Yeah. So I started seeing what they were doing. They were watching TED Talks and talking about Simon Sinek and all these cool people. So I started watching TED Talks. One day I came across this TED Talk from Robert Kiyosaki on inflation and how it's a silent wealth killer and how the rich are getting richer, but the poor and middle class are getting poorer. And then I decided to read his book, and I got the pocket version of that book, Rich Dad Poor Dad. I read it in like 2 days. I thought, I was like, oh, this is a great book. I finished it. Truth be told, it wasn't the full book. So I went out, got the full book, completely changed my life.
Okay. You feel like your generation, when you started having the access to YouTube or other streaming channels that have such education, kind of helped with that? Because when it was me and I had your age, I didn't necessarily have let's say YouTube coaches or like the influence of podcasts or things like that, or even people that are a little bit older than me, right? So we don't have that fast access to information. Or is it that two people that were in your high school, right? Was it high school or elementary?
High school.
They really, really like dragged you to do those kind of things. Like, I feel like a lot of people here have a lot of fast access to information. And right now, for example, they're learning from Andrew Tate. They're learning from Alex Hormozi, like whenever he goes viral. They're learning from all these viral people that are in TikTok, that are on Instagram. So their information can get faster and they can take on those type of opportunities. So do you think that right now younger generations have it easier to get started? But I don't know, like, what's your take on that, man?
Dude, that is an amazing question. So you're obviously right about we have access to way more information, but it depends on what's the information. We're all being programmed right now. So what is the information that we have access to? If I go out and I check who's someone successful, if I check Alex Hormozi's social media and his algorithm and what he sees on his feed versus the typical high schooler, it's a night and day difference. The social media, TikTok, Instagram, it is digital fentanyl. It is so addictive. That could be a good thing and it could be a bad thing. What is the programming that individual is actually listening to? And the sad part is that most people my age and most people as a whole in this country and in this world are addicted to the wrong types of information. They're watching girls twerk and they're really not focused on improving their lives. They're stuck on their phones and spending hours upon hours in this opportunity to gather so much information. So dude, you're 100% right. I think in the modern day that we're in, it's way easier for someone to get ahead because of the information that they have. They can learn something in really a month that would normally take a ton of investment from school and college, not just financial, but time investment.
Yeah.
And they can get that information super quickly. But I think we're just dropping the ball on what information we're actually getting.
Yeah, and like since social media is widely used, TikTok, Instagram, yeah, YouTube Shorts, and the algorithms are the ones that show you what you want to see, right? I think it can just do little tweaks of information. If you want to make money, and if you're poor, or you're just broke, let's say no poor, because like maybe you have a great mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you do understand that there is opportunity out there, and you just change your algorithm by start watching like the good stuff and unfollow the bad stuff, the thing that is not adding any value. You know, people twerking and people like, I don't know, bullying others and things like that, and things that just doesn't add any type of value. Or whatever, like, I'm not going to talk shit, but fresh and fit stuff. If you stop following that stuff, your algorithm gets better.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, you do get the content. And we were talking about organic content, right? We were talking about like how you might agree or disagree that we can start a company with brand as not as the full focus, but brand as a big, big important part of the business. And because we were talking how people like Joel Kaplan, Ravi Bulbala, Alex Hormozi were kind of against that at the very beginning because they were very direct response, scale fast. But then they all got into the branding game, however they could at the time that they got, and they started growing, and that kind of like took them to another level, right? And higher profit margins, things like that. So what would you say about people ultimately using that organic reach, right? Using that for their business. If you were to have a business right now, once again, and I know that we can talk about this, you're very, very close to potentially exiting a company, or you're almost there, right? If you were to start a company once again, would you have that branding part at the very beginning?
No.
Tell me why.
There's a plethora of reasons, but diving into it, number one, it is time intensive. Rather than focusing my time on other areas of my business, like the sales aspect, which you could say and argue that branding is a big part of the sales aspect, but I could invest money into paid ads, get a few viral ads, and I'm going to scale way faster. I'm going to be able to build a team faster. I'm going to be able to actually get better systems in place because we're going to have more capital and cash flow. The company that starts off running direct marketing versus the company that starts off with brand awareness, the company that starts off with direct marketing will scale faster. And as a result, their brand will actually be able to scale faster because they'll have the investments they need to grow their brand down the line. I also think it falls down to something that we've experienced with Estate AI. For example, we've noticed that because of all the viral ads that we've ran without doing any actual branding, those ads have created a brand for us as a result.
Yeah. But I also would say that how do you define actually brand then? Because it's such a wide concept, like such a huge spectrum.
Yeah.
It's not just a design. It's not just the color. It's not just like how your name looks or what it means. Yeah. Right. Because at the end of the day, if you create a funnel and you create like a landing page and you create the follow-up trips, you create the sequences, you want the customers to ultimately feel comfortable in doing business with you, opening the email, jumping on the phone with you, checking on whatever they got after they come from the ad. And that ultimately is still a perception, which is, it's a form of brand. Like, you're not going to create a bad copy and book an appointment with that bad copy.
Yep.
You're also not going to have a sketchy freaking looking jrnigeria@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Like the Prince of Nigeria email and have probably, maybe we can test it. Like Prince of Nigeria being the, you know, the lead generator and the sales guy. Oh, I'm Prince of Nigeria. I'm the sales Prince of Nigeria. And maybe you can have success, but I guess brand is also a perception of how people see you.
Yep.
Like, so, and then there's the other aspects of like how they're going to continue to see you over time. When do they see you? How often do they see you? How frequent they see you? How they feel about you? Ultimately, where you're going to make them feel. So I think it's just very, very, very broad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think where we can differentiate the two is organic versus the paid route.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. So one is not putting money into like the whatever ads, and the other one is putting money into the ads, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I want to start this episode a little bit different because I want to have a pulse on you and your business and your personal life a little bit. Tell me five things that you're currently working on that is recent and are impactful towards you right now, towards this entire, let's say, few years that you've been in the business, and the things that you're working on right now towards the future. Five things.
Just business or personal too?
Anything you can think about.
All right. I'm going to start off with one thing that no one's going to even think about, but getting my pilot's license right now, my private pilot's license. And the reason why I talk about that is because I could talk about how it's helping me overcome fear, how it's helping me fulfill whatever I set out to accomplish when I was younger, all the programming that I dealt with when I was younger. But that's one thing, and I could dive into that a little bit later and how it ties into business, because I've noticed that it's been instrumental, actually, to my mindset around business. Number two, we're actually building the boardroom at Astadii. So for those of you listening and you don't know, the company I run is Astadii. And what do I mean by building the boardroom? We're empowering the next generation of leaders right now at Astadii. That was our OKR objective for this quarter. And we're elevating people into leadership positions and making sure that the company can run better. I'm actually about to go on a cruise, and I expect that the company does better without me there, or does the same. And if I was there, there should be no need for me to be there. So we're building the boardroom. The third thing is I've been investing in a lot more real estate this year, and super excited about that. Wow, man, you're really going to make me name five things.
Yeah, let's go for five.
The next thing is I've been way more consistent at the gym and really getting my health right, because at the end of the day, you can make all the money in the world, but if your health isn't there, then
you're looking good, man.
Thank you.
You're gonna go with more confidence towards Steph Curry and be like, yo, I'm your fucking cousin, bro. Look at me.
Yeah, man. I got the genes, so that's a plus. It doesn't make it too hard. And then the last thing, man, at the end of the day, you could be a bajillionaire, but if your life is boring, your life is boring. So figuring out other ways to make my life a little bit more exciting.
Yeah.
And doing things that most people don't normally do to get out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
That's really what I've been doing recently.
It's crazy, dude. Like, okay, I'm going to talk about the last one, because obviously that's the last piece that you touch. But this is nothing against, and I might, you know, might be a little bit, but nothing against like anyone out there. But American entrepreneurs compared to like European or Latin American entrepreneurs, they make business boring. Dude, it's only business. That's it.
Yeah.
Why can't you have fun too? Why can't you have fun as well? Like, think about like how many people in business here in the US, even though it's a power country, they just, you know, they're like, I'll stay at home. I'll do nothing. I fuck with nobody.
Dude, it's, and you know what? You make a very interesting point. Like you said, America, it's a powerful country. People look to the United States as a leader in a lot of things. And I think it's that obsession, right? When you obsess over one thing, you're probably going to do extremely well with it. And I think that's kind of what we see with America. But at the same time, you're going to die.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm going to obsess over my life as a whole. And this has been a paradigm shift for me. I've had, instead of obsessing over business, I've had to obsess over my life. Business is just one part of that life.
Yeah.
There's so many other parts. That's what I'm starting to realize now. So you're 100% right.
Yeah, because I've been hanging out with a lot of European and Latin American entrepreneurs in the tech space, dude. And they always have a rule. We make business, we make a lot of money, but we have fun.
Mm.
And I'm like, that's cool. They also call their employees collaborators. And so there was a few different things that they have in their business culture, call it business culture. And for example, I met a group where every single time that there is a mastermind, or there is a dinner, a power dinner, you know, high caliber dinner, they always, always have time to party at the, you know, option to party at the end of the night, and just to like literally have fun. But during the mastermind and during the event, they do activities to make it fun. It's not only like, hey, this is content networking. That's about it. Like, where's the fun? Yeah. Like, I want to hear a joke at least. You know what I mean? I want to hear a comedian come in. I want to hear like, I want to see maybe, I don't know, some those guys that they stand on the sticks in their legs and they do, you know, I don't know, acrobatic stuff. Yeah. So, similar to what the Go High Level event happened. Then they made it really fun, really, really cool. but most events, they're not like this here, right? It's just like straight, let's go. And, you know, I got used to it. You know, for me, it's fun to talk about business and meet other people. But at the same time, dude, like you said, you have to tickle that part of your life. You know what I mean? Like you have to do it. All right. So you touch base about a few things. You're doing the real estate. You're also getting into the boardroom part of your business. You're also getting fit. And you were getting your pilot license. Wow, dude. Okay, that's pretty exciting. So why pilot and how does it relate to business?
Dude, there's so many routes I could go down. But let me start off with this. For the longest time, I've had a interesting relationship with flying and how I perceived it. So for me, I didn't want to fly. I was a 9/11 baby, right? I was born a month after 9/11. So planes to me were always kind of sketchy. And at the same time, I wanted to conquer that fear. Now I'm comfortable flying. It wasn't like a complete fear, but you know, I'd prefer not to do it. So that's one reason why I just decided, you know, I have to do this. I have to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. On top, the chicks, they dig it.
Yeah.
So that's part of it too. And then last but not least, man, like I'll explain something. I was doing this exercise yesterday where we were simulating engine failure. So I'm just flying. My instructor will lean over at any given time, shut off the engine. At that moment, you are on a fine line of either living or dying. And what people don't realize is that line is there every single day.
Oh, yeah.
And when you can experience death, the possibility of death that close, you start to realize, oh, shit. This life is, number one, precious. Number two, you start to realize that you are capable of doing whatever you want to do. You're in control of most of your destiny. And you have the ability to kind of take it whatever route you choose to take it. I could choose to not follow the checklist and the plane crashes, or I could choose to take control, to be calm, present in the moment, and land the plane even though the engine is out. Well, but because of that fine line, I think it presents a really interesting approach to your life that, if you were going to die today, and Steve Jobs says it best, if you're going to die today, would you be happy with what you're about to do today? And it forces you to think about that.
Love it. What if I give it a twist and you have a parachute and you said, fuck you, pilot. And you go and you just jump and jack yourself. Goodbye.
Dude, I feel bad for the people on the ground because that plane's going anywhere.
I mean, it could land in the water or hopefully on a hill, and then you're like, goodbye.
You see, I don't fly over the water because I can't swim, so I avoid the water.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, that would have been an interesting parachute experience.
Yeah.
Definitely. All right, that's cool, man. So you start very young. And seems like you have acquired a lot of knowledge. You mentioned a lot of big boy words there. For example, I heard you say OKRs whenever you mentioned about the boardroom. I heard you say different big, you know, big business owner or like recently like seasoned business owner words there. Where are you getting your knowledge from? And like how much you spending into like learning, or when you were learning all of this stuff, what was your learn to like do ratio?
Dude, great question. Rather than knowledge, I think it's programming.
Mm.
Right? I'm being programmed on a consistent basis from what I see on social media to the people that I surround myself like you. Everyone is programming me. And you could choose to have good programming or bad programming, like we talked about earlier. And I'm addicted to it because, once again, social media is the digital fentanyl. It's the digital fentanyl. So you're going to be on it. You're going to be programmed somehow by the news, by the music you listen to. Do you know, this is a really interesting thing, that the music, they've increased the hertz on music, which has caused people to be confused it has caused people to be disoriented. They don't even understand what's being said in the music. It's messing up people's brains. Versus old music, classical music being what, 432 hertz, I believe. Which
no idea, but okay.
But it's a slight increase in the hertz for rap music and a lot of the, and that's all programming,
right? Like that, yeah.
It's all programming. So even down to the music that you listen to,
yeah,
it's all programming you. And once again, that could be good programming or bad programming. So for me, where do I get my knowledge from? I was extremely fortunate to once again read that book, Rich Dad Poor Dad, and that's when I realized, because I hated school, man. Like, I believe to this day, college is old school. The modern school system is old school.
Yeah.
And we have a system where if you look at cars 150 years ago, a car 150 years ago, a Model T Ford, it's totally different than the Bugatti on the street right now.
Yeah.
A plane 150 years ago, that little glider is that the Wright brothers built is totally different than the Boeing 737 I flew in from Miami to here. I mean, from Jersey to Miami on.
Yeah.
Totally different plane. But if I go back to school, when I was in school, only a few days ago, because, you know, I'm a baby. But in all seriousness, when I look back at when I graduated school in 2020, high school, versus 150 years ago, the setup is the same. We're in nice, neat rows, raising our hands. The teacher's presenting on the whiteboard. Nothing has changed in 150 years. So I didn't believe in the modern school system. I can't even call it the modern school system. I didn't believe in the old school system. Because
yeah.
I do think there's a new modern school system evolving. People are realizing that college isn't always the best option. People are realizing that there are different types of learners, from kinetic learners to visual. And then if we dive even deeper on a very micro scale, when I read Rich Dad Poor Dad, and I realized that education is not the filling of a pail but the lighting of a fire, For a second, I thought that everything that I knew, because remember, I had that knowingness, I thought it would be possible if I was getting programmed by the right people.
Yeah.
So that's when I started investing in courses like Billy Wilson, Joel Kaplan, all these people. And they've taught me everything that I know. But then at the end of the day, failure, taking action and failing over and over again has been one of my biggest teachers.
Yeah, I remember. I remember when you were struggling, and then all of a sudden, 100K a month. I remember when, like, oh, new agency. And you're like in so many ads in different niche. It's crazy. So would you say that Robert Kiyosaki was your first influencer? Or one of your first, like, influential figures, apart from these two high school guys?
I'd say my dad was. He owns businesses. He runs businesses. And him telling me you don't want to, he programmed me. He told me from as soon as I could probably speak and listen and understand and comprehend.
Dude, how important it is to have like a dad or a parent that actually helps you. And like, if the parent does not do a good job, how fucked up a kid can be.
Dude, it's essential. And this is controversial, but like, if you look at the nuclear family, right? We are, and if we go back in time, you had less crime. You had people that understood the difference between right and wrong. I mean, if you look at society right now, they're insane. Everyone's going crazy. No one has a moral compass. No one has ambition, drive anymore. It's lacking. It's something that's dying in our society. We're chasing the wrong things. So I think having a parent for me, not just a parent, but a parent that was effective in teaching me and giving me direction and helping me become the person I am today, I mean, I wouldn't be here without
them. Yeah, it's true, man. Like, I think people are becoming softer nowadays with better tools, more access to better things. People are just becoming softer, especially in America.
Dude, what's the saying? Bad times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. And then weak men create bad times.
Love that.
So we are in a cycle. We've always been that this way. We are in a cycle in America, across the world. And I think people will wake up. They have to wake up because this world is changing and we are definitely about to enter some bad times.
Yeah.
We do. We have weak men in this world.
Think about, like, all right. So when America has been created by immigrants. They came from bad times.
Yep.
And the struggle of coming in ships and, you know, struggle of stuff, the Black Americans, the struggle that they had to go through, immigrants as a whole, all the struggle that they had to go through.
Yeah, everyone.
And a lot of like fast advancement and then wars, right? Huge fast advancements, right? Just everything was just advanced so fast. And now that everything is getting easier, right? I think the 1% will become the 0.5%. Now it's going to be 1%, it's going to be 0.5%. It's like less people that are going to ultimately fit because everyone is just becoming more lazy. They don't want to work. They're more entitled. Everything hurts. I'm offended to this, and like I'm a softie. I'm creating new ways to excuse myself to I don't know, something. And it's that's happening. You see it nowadays. Yeah. Now imagine with AI, dude, and imagine with robots and all this artificial intelligence, people are going to become even lazier for the wrong ways, right? People are going to become even more entitled in the wrong ways, right? Instead of taking advantage of, for example, someone like you to see the opportunity and how do you can make money out of them? How do you create and design the life that you want, right? The lifestyle that you want, give to the people that you want to give and ultimately have a great freaking life. So, dude, I actually had a podcast with two sisters out of three in here, and they're doing something called, so they don't call it school lunch, but I told them you're basically doing school lunch. They are essentially putting curriculums that work and scale other schools into non-traditional education schools. Mm. It's really interesting. You should meet them. They're three Colombian girls.
That's cool.
They graduated in Georgia, in Atlanta, and one of their projects in one of their classes turned out to evolve towards Biz Nation, which evolved to be Biz Lab. That's how they call it. And now they're turning around schools in Latin America, and they're also turning around schools here now in the U.S. So it's really interesting. You should listen to it. Everyone that is listening to this,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool because essentially doing like a gym lunch, but like school lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're super into the educational part. They have a platform. They have a SaaS. They have like these government contracts, and now they're gonna have like this high ticket towards other schools.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah, it's really cool. They're badasses, bro. Like 500,000 followers in Instagram, and They had a arena full of wannabe entrepreneurs and entrepreneurs. You know how many? 14,000 people assisted that freaking arena.
Wow.
It's so hard to get 300, 500 people in here to attend like an entrepreneur event.
Yeah.
They did 14,000, like 140,000.
That's Grant Cardone level.
Right? So I had another podcast. I was like, holy shit. So it's cool. Because you ultimately know and see that. You ultimately see that part of the education. All right, let's jump into the business side. I wanna learn more about, so can we talk about that? You guys are probably going to get and make the bag.
We're
gonna post it after that happens.
We can talk about it.
Okay, then. let's talk about it. So you guys are gonna bag a good amount after making $250,000 a month in your agency, Estate AI. And I had your business partner here in the last episode. He kind of gave me some hints. But now I can dive deep into that with you. So why selling a company? And was that your intention at first?
Dude, it's funny that you asked that. It was our intention at first. And then it changed. We didn't want to sell. And then it changed again. We decided we wanted to sell. And we decided we wanted to sell when Matt and I realized that we were the bottlenecks in the business. We were ultimately the final bottleneck that was preventing us from taking a steady eye from a seven-figure company to an eight-figure company and beyond. And our team has a vision. They have a mission that they can accomplish. But we're holding them back. And That's because we don't enjoy what we're doing anymore. And if we don't enjoy it as the founders, as the CEO and the executives, then we're doing our team a disservice, but most importantly, we're also doing ourselves a disservice. Because once again, I'm going to die. So I'm going to live my life based on what I want to do.
Let me ask you something. So when you set up the vision and the mission of the company, was it because of a strong desire or just because you needed as a business standard to have that for your team?
That's a good question. It's because I'm going to give you the honest answer. We needed it. It's good business practice.
Right.
And with that being said, it didn't mean much to us when we created it. It sounded nice. But now it definitely means something. That's just the direction that we chose. Mm-hmm. And it's worked extremely well for us.
Yeah.
Our team is bought in and they see the potential. I have team members thinking a city is going to have multiple different verticals and we're going to do all these crazy things. We have team members thinking that a state AI could become a lender for the real estate market.
Of course.
There's so many ideas and it could become a conglomerate basically. And that's what our team is thinking, which is where we need them to be thinking.
Yeah. Actually in this building, there is the owner of a company called Property Force. Mm. And they used to be a hotel company. They evolved towards not being a hotel company when they gave essentially Oliver started a company as a hotel company, scaled it real, real good. You'll see it in the Real Estate Disruptors podcast, real well. And then it was multiple seven figures per month. Mm. And then he gave the crown to a guy that came in. He lives here. His name is Neil, and made him the CEO. And essentially, he's also part owner of the company. But now he's like, I don't want to be a wholesale company anymore. Mm. I actually want to be a real estate company, but I want to power up as a real estate company. And I'm going to make us a tech real estate company, tech enabled real estate company. So essentially, kind of prop tech, And now they are buying properties themselves. They buy it instead of wholesaling it. And then they lend the money to buyers so that they can buy it as well. Wow. Like how awesome it is to buy the properties, right? They own it outright. And then they right away, they already have a buyer, an investor, and they lend the money to the investor as well.
Wow.
Right? So like how good of a system that is. Because and now they're fusing tech, they're making it into tech. They're over four mil a month or something like that. So it's really good inspiration because like they're one of the biggest ones in the US. They have maybe 30 to 40 acquisition managers, and they're located here in South Florida.
Wow.
So if you ever want to have a conversation about like something visionary and big, with Neil, it will be a great conversation.
Hell yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, so let me ask you, what do you see your goals are, your vision?
So many people have asked me this question, Esteban. And to be honest with you, and that's okay. I think for the longest time, I've put a lot of pressure on myself to have some idea of where I'm going. And I've created and achieved what I've set out to achieve. I would say everything on my vision board has pretty much been accomplished. Besides maybe one or two things that will happen. It's just not the right time now. And I'll be honest, I'm creating Jarrett 4.0 right now. I am on Jarrett 3.0. Jarrett Curry 4.0, I'm actively typing out what I expect that to look like. So I can't give you an answer right now.
When is Jarrett Super Saiyan God coming out?
I don't know. That might be version 7.0.
Jarrett,
we'll see.
God. Okay. So Jarrett 4.0.
Yeah. I'm working on it right now.
Okay. You know, what's my like selfish vision? It's always been like that. And I just thought it was just like a thought. My selfish vision is I want to show people that Colombia and Colombians are not as bad, and they're pretty great, and that people from there are amazing, and that you should forget about Pablo. Mm. And I think that me building a multiple seven-figure mega successful business and also helping remote Latinos is ultimately helping that. You know what I mean? So that is going to take a lot of work, because changing people's mindset towards something is really hard, right? Like, for example, Patrick Bet-David, I really, do you know Patrick Bet-David?
Yep.
Okay, I really admire him because he always talks about immigrants being the source, the fuel of this country. He's an immigrant. He's from Iran, right? So I really admire him because it's true. Like, immigrants give hope to this country because they come with hope. Yep. Something that people born in this country sometimes don't see, because they're born
already. Take it for granted.
Take it for granted, right? It
frustrates me.
Right? They take it for granted. So how can you show someone who's born in America that there's also hope?
It's tough.
Right?
It's tough.
Like, you have a hope, bro, to, like, because you are who you are, but like, how can other people understand that? And I guess it's the rule of the the bell curve, right?
Yes.
Where like just a certain percentage of people were ultimately gonna make it, and a certain other percent, it's how it is.
Yep.
If I were to start another country and I place two people, one of those people, it's gonna be either successful, and the other one is not gonna be, and it's gonna choose another path. And with the same circumstances, even if I go and place four people in a new country that is in Earth, maybe one person is going to be mega successful, one is going to be doing okay, and two, and maybe the other two will choose the route that where there's going to be sheeps.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So it is, I guess, the law of nature is like that, right? That's why there is like stronger lions and weaker lions, and there is prey and predators, right? It's just nature.
Yep.
So you choose to be which part of nature to be.
100%.
Yeah. So when you are exiting a company, what do you have to make sure that you have?
To start off with, you need a company that you don't want to sell. If you have a company that you want to sell, it's probably not a sellable company. You should have to fight yourself internally on, is this the right decision? If you're like, I'm done, screw this, I don't want to do this anymore, you probably did not build a company that is sellable, because that means it's probably not automated. That means it's probably not as profitable as it could be. It's not as efficient as it could be. And that's really the biggest thing. People don't want to buy a job. They want to buy a business. So your company has to be able to operate without you. That's the most important thing. Number two, your company also has to be profitable. If you have those two things, you can probably sell a company.
Yeah. What is a good profit margin with the model like done with you for you guys?
Done with you, 30% is what we aim for.
Okay.
That's what we aim for.
Okay, that's great.
Without us having any involvement.
Yeah. In terms of the team, what type of team do you need to have?
You need to have, this is a term thrown around, and I hate using it, but you need A players. You need people that see the vision and they cry about it. We just did a team retreat in Costa Rica. We had people around a fire hugging and crying because they were thinking about where this company could go, because they were thinking about how this company is changing. You need people that are bought in, more bought in. And it's crazy to say this. My team is more bought in into a steady-eyed vision than I am. And I think so many CEOs try to say it should be the opposite. I disagree, because they're buy-in will push you, and you need to be pushed by them. You're going to pull them, but they're going to push you.
Yeah. The right A players will push you for sure. They will ensure that you just level up, because if you're not leveling up, your A players are going to leave or they're going to try to push you if they believe in the vision very well, right? Yeah. Very well. So for example, like you have, do you have, what type of executives do you have?
So we have our sales manager, uh-huh. We have our media buyer manager, and then we have our head of client success.
Okay.
Those are the people that are on our leadership team right now.
Okay. And if you were to start a company, would you hire leaders so that they can help you build that department first?
Dude, that's a great, yes. Matt and I literally texted him a few weeks ago. This is my business partner for everyone listening. I texted him and asked him, what are the biggest things you would change or mistakes that you would fix if we were starting another company all over again? And one of the things that we both mentioned was we would pay a recruiter to find the managers for our company before we find the actual people.
Yeah.
First. So 100%.
Yeah, man. Because like once you figure out, because you got to understand it, right? You got to understand how the mechanism works.
Yes.
And you got to be able to like, it's part of the failure mechanism that you have to have. You have to learn it. You have to understand how things work and build the team yourself so that you essentially have the confidence, trust of like, okay, I'm hiring this manager. I know what they're doing. Because they can also bring B players.
Yeah.
And you can not figure out until like later. So for example, when you mentioned the boardroom and you mentioned OKRs, and a lot of people don't even think about this thing, like OKRs, creating a boardroom. Give me kind of like a 1-2-minute, 3-minute rundown of what are those things and how are those things helping you create that boardroom?
It's an amazing question. So OKRs stand for objective key results. And every quarter, our company will build out OKRs. We'll do it the quarter, like a few weeks before the next quarter. And we set the objective. Matt and I, we set the objective of where the company's going. For this quarter, we said we're going to build the boardroom because we needed the company to run without us. That was so important when it comes to selling and exiting the company. So that was the first thing. Second thing is the team is going to create the key results that they think are needed to accomplish said objective. So this gives them buy-in. Because now they're creating the steps, the actions that they need to take in order to. So many people try to dictate to their team what they need to do. My setters know better about what to do than I do. They're in the role every single day. The media buyers know better about media buying than I do. That's how it should be. And because of that, they need to dictate the actions that are going to be required to achieve the objectives. I'm going to tell them we're going to the moon like Elon Musk does, but the engineers are going to figure out how to design the rocket to get there. And that gives our team buy-in so that they actually do it. They actually take ownership of it, and it's effective. That's the most important thing.
Yeah. So going to real estate investing. You're going to the real estate investing side. Yeah. I know you have a few months to kind of think and like do your sabbatical. You're going to go and do your sabbatical as a 19-year-old, 20-year-old?
21.
21.
Yeah.
All right. I
grew up quick.
Yeah, you grew up quick. You're going to do a sabbatical as a 21-year-old. Why real estate investing and what's going to be your first steps?
Dude, I want to get rich for sure. I don't want to get rich quick.
Mm-hmm.
And the lifestyle that I want to live where I could have the freedom to do whatever I want, have true financial freedom. People would look at me right now and say I have financial freedom. But at the end of the day, if I still have to think subconsciously about my business performing, then I don't know if that's true financial freedom.
Yeah.
Like if my business went down today, is that true financial freedom? Who knows? For me, real estate, nothing's perfect, but I see real estate as an asset class that almost guarantees wealth compared to crypto, compared to running a business. And that's where most millionaires are made.
Yeah.
So that's the route I plan on going.
Yeah. Why do you think someone like Alex Ramosi is not in real estate right now?
He is. He definitely is. I've had the privilege of talking to Ramosi a few times. And based off the conversations and what I can infer, he's involved in it, but I don't believe he's not actively managing right. Any of it.
Okay. Can you disclose anything that you guys did with acquisition? Acquisition.com, or at least give the experience.
The experience. So it was an amazing experience, right? Hormozy and his team, absolute legends. That's pretty much all I can say.
You spoke with him?
Yes.
Yeah, he's a cool dude.
Yeah.
I walked with him for like 10 minutes. The Clever Investor Summit.
Mm.
Clever Summit, something like that.
Yeah.
With him and Layla. I walked with him, dude. Like, I was like, holy shit, I'm walking with this Hulk.
Yeah.
With this guy that has muscles and can beat me up anytime. And the people would be like, yo, Alex. And then Alex, I remember we were in the stairs and Alex was like, hey. And then Layla is like, do you know him? And he's like, no, but I feel good saying doing this. No, but it feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's an awesome dude. And sometimes we have conversations or just, you know, switch chats on Instagram. Because I feel like he sees founders first.
Mm.
He would kind of like do a target towards founders. Like yeah. If founder is good and they're applying whatever he's teaching or they're having good business, there's an opportunity for him to capitalize on that. Usually investors are like that. They invest in the founder.
Mm-hmm.
At first, if the founder is great and I'm going to invest into your company, at least have that part of equity, then the business is probably going to be successful if it has a good business model and product. So yeah, you can't say anything more. No.
The one thing I'll say is this.
Click on my link below to know to learn more.
we talked a lot about some advanced stuff. We talked a lot about life, but if I can end it with a story, and it's this guy who wants to learn how to fight from this grandmaster. You could call him a ninja, right? Think of a ninja, and the guy says, teach me how to rip someone's heart out of their chest, how to, you know, just how to fight, right? And the ninja or the sensei, whatever you want to call him, says, sure, let me teach you how to punch first. The guy says, who wants to learn, I already know how to punch. Just teach me more advanced stuff. How do I rip a guy's heart out of his chest? The sensei, the ninja, whatever you want to call him, says, sure, but let me teach you how to punch first. The guy who wants to learn starts getting really red, looks like a tomato, angry, frustrated, says, I already know how to punch. The ninja says, punch me then. Punches him, barely moves a muscle. So then, the sensei, the ninja, whatever you want to call him, punches the guy that wants to learn. He goes flying across the room. Walks up to him and he says, let's start off by teaching you how to punch first. The point of that story is to remind everyone out there, we could talk about OKRs, we could talk about life, we could talk about destiny, we could talk about programming. But at the end of the day, without the fundamentals, we can't achieve anything. So my challenge for you on this beautiful Sunday morning or afternoon is to remember the fundamentals. Remember how you got to where you're at. Don't forget them. And if you're starting off, remember that those are the things that you need to focus on first. Thanks for having me, man.
I love it, bro. I know you gotta go. I have a feeling that if you were to start like a startup, like a startup that has like potential to like have exponential growth, you'll be the type of founder that can definitely help it drive the vision, or at least help drive the team, or just be part of it. Like, I have a feeling like that, dude. Honestly, like, there is something about some founders that you'll see it from far. And if you find the right co-founders, right, that are going to help you get there, bro, it's massive. Massive shit.
I agree.
Yeah, man. So thank you for being in this episode.
Thanks for having me.
Bro, like, I appreciate you being here. I know you got to go. I would have gone for years of talking with you. Like, I would have gone for hours. So
if you are listening to this podcast and you love this podcast, leave us a review, give us a 5 stars, tell us exactly what you liked about the podcast, what would you like to hear, and who would you like to have. And we'll probably reach out to them. And if you're on YouTube, give us a thumbs up, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and also give us a comment. Follow Jared Curry. What's your social media?
I'm just a normal person, guys. Feel free to reach out. Instagram is official Jared Curry. Curry like Steph. Don't forget that.
Yes. And tag Steph Curry if you like this. Just tag him. Every single one.
There you go.
Tag Steph Curry. All right. Thank you so much for being in this podcast. Take care, bro.